Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew Mornings. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast. All right, here we go. It's a brand new day. It is Wednesday,
yes.
The 20th.
Yes.
Here we go. 5:01 is our time. We're rolling on. A little snowy out there today. Keep it safe. I didn't find the roads to be bad at all. They cleared them off pretty well.
On the on the highways, the side roads, or at least around me, we're all still snowing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was saying problem as in, because side roads, that's where you get to.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, if you wake up
you
four in the morning and there's no one else around.
I need to tell you, there's nothing more fun for me being from Alaska than slipping and sliding and spinning. It's fun.
Probably feels like it's only like an inch or two of snow, so it probably just feels
it's
so paltry by comparison, right?
I mean, Alaska, right now in Anchorage, it's warmer than here, and we'll be all week long. I mean, Anchorage is
I always forget about that.
Yeah, I mean, Fairbanks, where you went.
It
with
was
your harp.
Freezing.
Did you take your own harp up there?
No, so I rented it from like the orchestra of one of those cities that I visited.
And
I can't say which one because I don't remember.
Was it Anchorage?
It might have been Anchorage, but I did. I had it was older than what I owned, but it was beautiful. It was a beautiful harp, and I played with the Moody Band, and we toured Alaska for 2 weeks and stayed in
homes. Toured?
Toured.
You toured. Wow.
I love that.
She's a total Canadian, man. That's awesome.
What do you say?
It doesn't matter. I think toured. Toured sounds cooler.
Aren't you guys saying the same word? You guys are saying the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
Oh, no, you're saying toured?
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
If you go to Alaska, you go on a tour.
Yeah.
If she goes to Alaska, you go on a tour.
Right.
Which is cool.
I just felt like I was in Wisconsin. That's all.
Up there?
Yeah. And then there was random glaciers.
Random glaciers.
They were the size of
they were huge.
Rhode Island.
Yes. Wisconsin with glaciers.
No, I'm telling you, man. If you've never been to Alaska, you got to get there.
Beautiful.
Boom Crew. It's unbelievable.
So pretty.
Okay, we're rolling here today, man, and it's going to be a great one. I had an awesome job this morning. I never walk in here with Allie, but today I walked in here with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I fended off some bad dudes and rats and everything.
Oh, yeah? Woo!
It was a trip walking across the street with Carl.
Oh.
Lots of yelling and all kind of stuff. He was trying to draw a rat out of the bushes so he could get a better look.
When I got out of my car, I'm looking down at Chapman in a glance, and I see a rabbit. No, a rat jump into a bush right by where you walk.
Oh, sure. Man.
He was huge. I've never seen a rat that big here.
Oh,
ever.
Man.
In all the years I've been here, it was fat and long.
Yeah.
So I threw a snowball at the bush trying to roust it out of there when we walked past it.
Of course.
And we know how I feel about rats.
Yeah,
I didn't want it to get her. I was running interference. I was out in front of her.
You
could have left it in the bush.
Though. Yeah. I know. They hide. They're not. And then you tried to draw him out.
I was flushing him out. That's different. Drawing him out is bringing him to you. Flushing him out is driving him away.
That's hilarious.
I don't want to see them scurry. If they're hidden in a bush, fine
I'm
by
good.
Them.
And then I did fend off a couple of bad guys. They didn't even come close.
Yeah, karate style.
Oh, I was out there.
He was yelling at the top of his lungs.
Yeah, I was doing Jackie Chan screams.
People will stay away.
Yep.
Interesting.
No. I said, you know what? Sometimes the best way. Did you know that the best way to fend off bad guys sometimes is to act like you've lost your mind?
Yeah, yes. I've heard that.
Well, that's what I thought he was doing.
Well, that's why bad guys never affect me, because I was out there doing some crazy stuff in the middle of the streets and everything.
I believe it.
Oh, lest you think he's exaggerating. This is exactly what happened on our one-minute walk into the building.
It takes, what, 2 minutes?
Carl, remember when you said hi to me at one point in the morning and I started running?
Yeah, what was that all
about?
You
were like, hey.
Yeah, because you do that.
Well, I mean, that's the way I greet people. Hey.
Yes.
Hey.
I was
what's
terrified.
Up?
It ain't exciting. 4:30
in the morning.
I know.
Hey. And then you go,
I started running across the plaza.
In the morning.
Yeah, why'd you go sprinting?
I wasn't going to risk it. I wasn't going to risk it.
All right. All right, somebody's saying that their Moody radio app's broken, so can you check
one
out?
I'll check it.
Yeah, we got two different numbers. No, one number. Oh, it's from last night. No, it's from yesterday morning. Sorry about
Not
that, guys.
Not the Moody radio app.
Please, don't be broken again. We're going to make sure that thing's up and working. Okay, here we go, guys. 46th President of the United States getting sworn in today, and a lot going on in our nation and a lot going on in our world. COVID deaths, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I don't know how these get pushed to the back burner. We were we were focused on this when it was 1,000 dying in a week, and now it's records. I mean, it's horrible. So be careful out there. Keep covered up and abide by all the wise counsel, and we're going to get through this thing. It's Carl and Crew Mornings, and guess what we're talking about this week? Seek first.
Yes.
Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Because our God is alive.
Amen.
I mean, he's alive. And so we can seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And listen, there's a lot of things that can cause us to wring our hands in our world today. Most of them deal with real personal things to our life.
Sure. I mean, as much as we can get worked up over what's happening in the political scene or what's happening nationally or what's happening globally, for the most part, when we get hit by something personally, all of that kind of fades away, and we become solely focused on what's going on right in front of us.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. And there's a lot of emotion here today, no doubt about it. But now here's what we can do. We can go right back to the foot of the cross, lay it down, find peace. And the one thing that we know about Jesus is that he came to bring peace to those who embrace him as Savior and Lord. So what do? Whenever we find the peace coming off, kind of off the cart and away from us, we come right back to the Savior. And that's what we're going to hit today. Okay, we got a fun question for you coming out of the chute here.
Yeah, we want to hear about God's provision.
How did God provide for you in a way that's like, wow, you got to be kidding me? I've got a crazy one for you coming up. Out of left field, has nothing to do with money, has nothing to do with anything that you would ever guess. You would never guess it.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm going to give you three guesses coming up in a moment, Boom Crew.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Talking about a powerful little passage here in Scripture. This is the narrative of the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus. And he says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? By the way, what do you think these mean in there when Jesus is saying, who of you by worrying can add a single hour of span? I thought about that, and I think the context of this is that they're talking about eating, physical provision. I think that there's only so many hours of daylight in a day to go get what you got to grub on. And so he's saying, how is your worrying going to add another hour of daylight? I think that's what he's saying.
Okay, so he's not saying that.
I always thought of that.
Do you think that worrying is going to in any way impact the outcome of what's going to happen?
Yeah, I think what he's saying here is, does wringing your hands make it any easier to get grub in daylight?
Sure.
I think that's the direct context. I'll study that out a little bit more. But and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither spin nor toil, yet I tell you, you got big malls, you know. He says, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Pretty cool. So, three guesses. What is it? God provided for
me
something.
Can you give any clues?
Yeah.
Oh, how can I give a clue?
Like person, place, or thing?
Person.
Okay. Is it your wife?
Well, obviously. So now you're setting me up for an utter fail.
No. I mean, is that what you're having
well, no,
in mind?
That's not what I have in mind. I mean, God did definitely blindsided me with a gift there.
A good friend?
I thought I was getting one thing. God gave me the real thing.
Okay.
a good friend.
That's awesome.
So it's a person. First guess, wife. Second guess, a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, but more than that.
Mentor.
Ooh.
Kind of, but different. Okay. Out of the blue, I didn't know how badly I was going to need a right-hand man at 180 Chicago. No clue.
And that's the church that you pastor here in Chicago.
Yep. And I had no clue. And it's really interesting because Jim Coakley, who's one of the profs here, he's going to our church and he's driving down a road with a guy who is one of the grads here at Moody, and then he just was finishing up his PhD at Trinity. He's just a brilliant guy and a incredible hard worker and just a godly guy and married just a fine young lady, and they've got a little baby now. Anyway, he's talking to him, and he's in the process. He's getting asked by this church to come on board and be their pastor, their senior pastor, where he was their interim pastor. And Jim Coakley said to him, you really need to consider coming down to 180 Chicago just to see what God's doing. Now, we can't pay you anything. And we know that you're married and need to put bread on the table. But just see if God won't provide somehow. Long story short, God gave me a Jit Christopher as a right-hand man. He came to church. This is so funny. So the day he came to church is the day we came up short of a band. I put a jukebox on the stage. We had about 100 people there. And I led a sing-along with some worship tunes that was anointed, man. God used it. And Ajit cracks up his day. He's like, dude, I walk in there with Katie. There is a CD player on the stage.
Oh, man. That's hilarious.
And there's Jim Coakley going, welcome to church.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And he's my right-hand man. We now have 6 staff. And we've got a growing group of volunteers. We call them ambassadors. And Ajit is the, and I'm gonna be bold here right now. Ajit is the finest right-hand man I've ever had in ministry. And this includes when I was pastor of 72 staff and 5,000 people up in Alaska.
Wow.
Never had a right-hand man like Ajit. Never. Never. The dude is on it. I mean, I like guys who can say they'll get it done and then actually do it. This guy's got that on steroids.
Oh, that's great.
He'll not only do it, he'll do it exceptionally well. And he anticipates things, and he's learning, and he's growing, and he's asking me to mentor him in preaching, and he's becoming a really amazing preacher. So God provides sometimes when you aren't even knowing what you need.
So we want to hear from you. Give us that story of God's amazing provision in your life. 312-274-9624.
And you might be getting up going, I don't need a right-hand man. I need $100. I need something for our kids. They're hungry. I mean, this is real. I want to tell you, there's nothing our God cannot do. He's providing for you as much as he was Ajit to me. Seek him with prayer today.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Any need you have is ultimately met in God. His providential, sovereign will flexes its muscle, and he provides. Even when you think you did it, he did it. Allie, what'd God do?
Well, I've lived in Chicago off and on for over 10 years now. And for that entire time, we've lived in a condo, which was great when it was me and my husband. It was great when we had our first child. It was great when we had our second child and we had little kids. Well, now our kids are 11 and 8 years old. So over the last 2 years, we started thinking, I think it's time to buy a house, to move out of a condo and buy a house.
Did the basketball hoop in the living room and the need for it to be there have anything to do with looking for a house?
Certainly hastened the decision.
Okay, just check it.
Yeah, we had a basketball hoop in the middle of the living room because we had no backyard, no real space for the kids. And so we started praying about moving. We started looking at houses, and we were looking all over the city, and we found a couple that we really liked, and we were praying about it, and we just kept feeling at every point that it would go to take a step further, we kept feeling a no from the Lord. And it was subtle, but it was also very clear. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Where it was like, no, not the right house. No, not the right time. And so this went on for months and over a year. And so I just was wrestling in my spirit, like, why, Lord? Why? It feels like the right time. We want to honor you with a house. Why is it not the right time for us? So fast forward to September of this last year, we've looked at so many houses, and I had kind of stopped the search. So we see this house pop up, And it seemed just perfect for us. It was at the right price. It was everything that we wanted in a house. And I showed my husband. I said, we have to go see this house. So I contact our realtor. She goes, let me check it out. It looks great. So she texts me back and she goes, I'm sorry. There must have been some mistake. That house is not for sale. I said, well, what do you mean it's not for sale? It's on this listing website. She goes, no, I think it was some sort of an old listing that just popped up by mistake. I contacted the realtor and everything. She says, no, it's not for sale.
Oh.
Now, we had already done the drive by this house. We had gone looked at the garage, and we were, you know, in our hearts like this could be the house. And it wasn't for sale. And I thought, what are the odds that I really fall in love with the house that's not even for sale? So I'm another 6 weeks pass. I had kind of moved on. And my husband sends me this listing. And he goes, check out this house. And I said, you realize this is the same house that we fell in love with back in September, right? He goes, no.
Wow.
I said, no, look at the address. Look at the listing. I scrolled through my text message. I said, this is the house that wasn't for sale back then. We have to see this house. So we called our realtor. I said, can we go and look at this house? She goes, absolutely. I'll get you in today. So we go and we check out the house. We meet the realtor, real nice guy. And we love it. We love the house. So we like, let's take some time to pray about it. And so we take a day or two and we're like, let's go ahead and make an offer. Let's just kind of take a step out there and take a step of faith and make an offer. So you kind of have that whole negotiation thing back and forth. So they left the ball in our court. They said, this is our walkaway number. This is kind of, you know, kind of take it or leave it. And so we were like, okay, let's pray. This is it. We got to decide what to do. So we went in separate rooms. We're praying together. We're praying apart, trying to reach a decision. And ultimately, we still lacked peace. So after all of that, we said, you know what? I think we're going to have to walk away. We're not like totally there yet. So we're going to have to just say, you know what? We're not ready yet. We're going to walk away.
This is amazing.
So I was kind of crushed, but I felt like it was the right decision. Like, we're walking away. We told our realtor. The next day, my husband had been up all night. I had been up not sleeping, and we're praying. And we're like, did we make the right decision? I don't even know. And my husband goes, I feel like this isn't over yet. I'm like, what do you mean it's not over? We walked away. What do you do now? So I spent the day, I was fasting and praying, and we're like, we're just going to wait. We don't, you know, we're just going to wait and see what God does. And so the kids are waiting. We're like, what's going to happen? We don't know. We're just going to wait. We walked away. We're going to see what God does. So I get an email about 7 o'clock that night from the realtor saying, hey, we know it's unusual to kind of counter our own offer, but we'd actually like to reduce our price because really think you're the right family to buy our house.
Come on, you can't write that.
Our realtor was like, this doesn't happen. You know that, right? Like, I know.
No. This isn't 1 in 100. This isn't 1 in 1,000.
Right.
This is 1 in...
like, never.
Maybe a million.
And we were just rejoicing. The kids are going crazy because they had seen all this transpire. And one of the sweetest things came a couple weeks after we moved in. And my little son, who's 8, he goes, I hope we never forget how we got this house.
Oh. Yeah, that's right.
It's like, you know what? You're right. Like, God really, in so many cool ways, showed us that this was the house for us. We've been in there for about 6 weeks. It's the biggest blessing. And it was so clearly from the Lord. It was the Lord's provision in the most unexpected and exciting way.
Boom. Matthew 6 cites a sermon on a mountainside where Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What you eat, what you drink, what you wear, who you are, what you need. It's all found in God. Keep your hands open. Keep your head on a swivel. Keep trusting him today. We're going to be taking your calls. How have you seen God's miraculous provision? I mean, like, boom. You went all in seeking him with your whole heart, and God provided. All right, Eric in Chicago, thanks for holding on. What's your story of provision, man? Go. You're up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mine is similar to what Allie was saying.
Cool.
Me and my wife, we were fresh in the Lord. We decided to live right and walk upright before God. And we started looking for a home. We were searching for a year and started kind of slowing down. And we started praying for, instead of just seeking for it, we started seeking the Lord for it. And we were praying in our prayers, you know, for God, for it to be his provision.
Yes.
Needless to say, we wanted something where we both grew up at. And I saw on the internet, I saw this this home. My wife told me exactly what she wanted. She wanted a large front porch, large yard, different four bedrooms. And I found this house. I called her. I said, hey, you got to take a look at this. And we went to go take a look at it, had a realtor show us. And we were praying while we were inside the house. And the realtor asked, hey, would you guys like to make an offer? Looked at my wife. She said, yeah, let's do it. But before then, I heard the Lord say, what I had in my heart, what I wanted to offer, the Lord said, lower. In my heart, I heard lower. And I was fearful when I made the first offer.
Because you thought you were going to lose
it. I thought I was going to lose it. And we made the offer. Needless to say, we went back and forth. They came back a little bit higher, and we were afraid we were going to lose it. So we made that offer. Well, we went back and forth. I told them with contention. After they came back, at the amount.
Uh-oh.
For $45,000.
Oh, my goodness.
For what the Lord had put in my heart before, it brought tears to my eyes when me and my wife heard what they called us back to say. And then we also, so when we wanted to buy the house, wanted to buy it out cash. After that, my wife said, hey, let's buy the house, and we can refinance it. We can go ahead and use the money and fix the house up. Well, we prayed again, and I told her the next morning, I said, we're not going to get the loan for the house. Credit was good. Everything was okay. We owned the house outright. And I said, we're not going to get the loan. She said, why? You don't want to? I said, no. I heard the Lord say, the blessing of the Lord maketh thee rich and add of no sorrow. I said, if we own the house, when we refinance, it doesn't belong to us anymore.
Ooh, man.
Needless to say, we went to the bank. They said, we don't know why. We denied your loan. And I said, I give you my word. I'll work hard and I'll fix it the exact way that you want it. And that is our home today for 8 years.
Oh, boom, Eric.
I love that story, Eric. Oh, that's great.
That's a righteous dude. Let me just tell you something, guys. What Eric just said right there is right. And I got a word for someone here that's been in the Lord for a long time. You knew what it was early on in your faith to seek the Lord while you were looking for a home. You knew what it was to seek the Lord when you were looking for a parking place downtown because you don't know how to parallel park real well. You knew what it was to seek the Lord when you were wanting to have a baby. You knew what it was to seek the Lord when you had challenges that are minuscule to the challenges today. But now you have stopped seeking the Lord and you go by the seat of your pants. And you give more than you've ever given because you have more means, but you're not seeking the Lord any longer. You go to church faithfully, but you're not seeking the Lord. You serve, but you don't seek the Lord. And I'm telling you today, right now, Eric's story is a call to seek the Lord.
Mm.
In the small, in the large, in the mundane, seek the Lord. That's convicting to me. That's convicting to me. I can be a pastor. You can button things up. You can get things going. I know what it is to seek the Lord when we launched a church and the first offering put in was put in by me and my bride, and that was it.
Yeah.
Guess what? Well, I plopped in a few grand, five, and I put it in the offering plate. And mine was the only offering in that plate because there was three of us there that day. And boy, you know what? You're seeking the Lord then.
Yeah.
But you got to seek the Lord when you become a viable church
mm-hmm.
and when you become a medium-sized church. And when you become a medium-sized family and then your income moves from low income to middle income, you still got to seek the Lord because we're Jesus followers,
yeah.
Allie.
Yeah, it's so easy to kind of, when things get a little bit less stressful,
yeah.
when we don't feel like we're pressed or that we're up against it anymore, it's kind of easy to just start to coast and go, okay, I think I'm out of crisis mode. I think I'm good. No, it's dangerous. We don't want to do that.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't stop seeking the Lord.
Hi, this is Doug Hastings, Vice President here at Moody Radio, and we have a unique sponsor for this podcast. It's United Faith Mortgage, the faith-focused mortgage team with a very specific advantage that can save families money. Here are two things you need to know. Number one, United Faith Mortgage was started by a dad and his son and his wife, and they've grown into a team helping families all across the U.S. And number two, they have a unique advantage. Their company is an arm of a bigger company, which is a direct lender, meaning there's no middleman. Their company uses its own money and makes its own lending decisions within its own walls. Again, no middleman. And often, this allows them to get you a better rate on a new home purchase, refinance, or cash out refinance, which could save you money over a lifetime. Check out the Faith and Family Mortgage team at UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
Hi, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carlin Crew Showcast.
It's Carlin Crew Mornings. All right, we're locked, loaded, and ready to rumble here, sister.
We want to hear your story of God's unexpected provision for...
All right, we're going to fly. They're loading up here. Victor and Hobart, what do you say, Victor?
Hey, Carl. Listen, real quick, I know you guys got a million people trying to call in. I'll make my story short. It's same scenario, almost, with the home. We were due to close on one particular day, and our buyer loved our house. She got some assistance in her down payment, and I guess anytime you get any federal help, there's some guidelines. So we had kind of shared with her, you know, don't go out trying to get something on credit, and don't be dumping a lot of money or taking a lot of money out of the account. And guess what? She did, and our closing got held up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but by this time, we had gave up all our furniture because we just knew the Lord was going to allow us to move into this house in 30 days after, you know, once we kicked it and all that good stuff. I had vacation time that I couldn't take back that I had to use. So now I'm sitting in the house with no furniture, with bags of clothes, boxes of clothes. And we were in tears. We were just crying.
Sorry for laughing, but that is a hopeless. What did God do?
Well, what he did was he told me to go and pray for that family, and I went over to their house, and I met outside, pretty bad neighborhood, and grabbed the hands of the entire family. There's quite a few people living in a 2-bedroom house. I knew our house would provide more room, so we went, me and my wife, or my bride, as you would say it, and we pulled for the family, and got a phone call that we were clear to close, and even after that, we drove her to the closing because she was on public transportation, and I left all the extra appliances and my barbecue grills there because I said it's a single mama.
Yeah,
and
man.
We treat people the way that the Lord would have us to treat them. We can only be blessed by that.
You better believe it, baby. You are right on. Victor, praising God. Hey, Victor, do me this. Don't stop seeking God. Do you know how easy it is to stop seeking God when things start rolling pretty good?
Yeah, you're right. Amen.
We can't stop, Victor. Godspeed, brother. Thank you for calling in. I'm going to go back to the phone lines. Let's see what he's done.
Yes, Jeremy, first-time caller from Chicago. You sought God, and he provided in an unexpected way. Tell us the story.
Yes, well, I just graduated from Moody in May of last year.
Congrats, brother. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was just an amazing thing. But here I am in the thick of COVID wondering, what the heck am I supposed to do post-grad? And wondering, Lord, I'm seeking you. I need your help. And, you know, at that point I was a dependent, and my dad's just saying, oh, get, you know, a normal job to be able to pay the bills. We'll take care of you know, all the other stuff. And I was like, okay. And nothing was opening up. I mean, absolutely just no delivery job, no nothing. And that's because the Lord had something better in mind, and he provided a full-time job at Moody.
What?
And I've been working there since July, so just praising the Lord for his provision.
Jeremy, what are you doing here, hot dog? What are you doing here?
What am I? I'm a donor appreciation representative.
Oh, how sweet is
that?
That's
awesome.
And you know why you're perfect for that?
Why?
Because you got zip and pop in you, bro. You got it going on. You can feel it. You got. It sounds like Jesus is real to you. It sounds like
that.
Yes,
he is.
All right, man.
Oh, absolutely. He is completely real in my life, and I keep saying seeing the ways he's blessing and providing for me. I say, okay, God, may I be a blessing to people.
Are you married, Jeremy?
That's a good question, because I'm about to. We're getting really serious. My girlfriend and I are talking about marriage. So,
well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Yep. She got a hunk of burning love on the line right there, man. You are a good dude. Yeah. And I'm sure she's a great woman. Keep it up, Jeremy. Keep cranking with Jesus, my man.
Put him on the spot there a little bit, Carl.
Oh, well, that's my spiritual gift.
He's like, oh no.
Let's get another one.
So sweet. Let's go to Keontae.
Oh, I love to put Keontae on the spot. How you doing, Keontae?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing good, man. Give us your story.
Yes, sir. So at the age of 20, my sophomore year in college, my wife and I, before she was my wife, we had our first child, and we were still in school, and, you know, we don't have no family out here in DeKalb. We still don't. And so three kids later, man, the Lord, I just tell you what, man, the Lord has just provided for everything that we needed for our children, from clothes to food to the little knickknacks, diapers, wipes, pacifiers, everything, you know, the strollers, car seats. I mean, so much donations from people that we don't even know, or people we barely know. I mean, in any way, I get donations from people as a school bus driver, from my students' parents. One of the ladies gave me just a hamper full of clothes for our newborn child, which he was just born January 15th, 2021. So,
you got a newborn, hot dog.
Yeah, newborn. So, yeah. I mean, just. He can truly make a way. And, you know, as being 20, you know, you think like, man, where am I going to get the money to get this and that? And diapers cost so much. But, I mean, he just continues to show up and show out in our lives. And we're just so grateful for all the people who have blessed us and continue to bless us.
I'll tell you this, Keontae, and I'm going to affirm you here, bro dog. You're driving bus right now. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You getting off the couch and getting out there by faith and moving that ship on down the road is how God guides you. That's how he's moving. And I'm proud of you. You keep it going. You hear me, young man?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Proud of you, Keontae. That's a rock star young man right there. Like, just trusting God, going for it, driving school bus. I bet that's the coolest school bus driver in that whole district right there, Keontae.
That's fantastic.
I want to be back in school.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
You know, I had a school bus driver that used to go over these big frost heaves super fast on purpose, because we'd sit way in the back of the bus.
Oh, yeah, man.
And he'd launch us in the air.
Or they hit the bumps on purpose so you go flying?
We hit our tailbone so hard, I think that's why most of us needed chiropractic work 20 years later.
Oh, no.
But it was a blessing at the time.
This was Alaska.
Yeah.
This was in the,
it was
sometime in the 70s.
I was in Illinois in 2000, early 2000s.
See, I'm telling you, that was what that was.
Is that Universal?
My school bus driver's son, who lived in Illinois.
Right. Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Drove me to school.
Liz, first time caller from McHenry. We got a story here that fits with our big idea of the day.
We're talking about God's provision. Give us your story, Liz.
Well, it's a story that, seek out God in so many different ways. And I was crying. This was back in the 90s. I had three little kids. My husband had been sick, and everybody kept telling me, oh, God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, get your refrigerator first out of my face, right, Liz?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so I'm getting ready in the morning, getting ready to go to church, and I am just bawling. I'm just crying.
Yeah.
And I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm going, your grace is sufficient for me? Right. It doesn't provide milk. It doesn't provide bread. It provides nothing. Your grace, right. and my dog started barking. I have two big dogs, and they were barking like crazy. This is like 8:30 in the morning on a Sunday morning. I go out to see what my dogs are barking at, and there's a lady from our church standing at my door with a gallon of milk and a bag of groceries. I'll never forget it. And it's just like, I'll never throw that scripture around ever again.
Isn't that amazing, sister? Isn't that amazing? Huh? That is awesome, is. Liz.
I just felt like God just was like, okay, I'll show you. Mm. I'll show you. Even though you weren't praying in a nice way, using all these flowery words, you were yelling at me. I'll show you.
Wow.
That I love, Liz. First time caller from McHenry right there.
Man.
Boom.
Hey, it's Young Thunder, and you're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The audience of Jesus was needy. Woe be it to us when we stop being needy. One of the great dangers of blessing is that it can cause us to lose our minds and forget that we need God. It's true.
It's very true.
I mean, it happened for the church of Laodicea. I mean, Jesus said, the Spirit of God spoke to John on the island of Patmos, and the church of Laodicea had become lukewarm. They were wealthy. They thought they had it together. They saw no need for God. Now, do you think they verbally said that?
No.
No. The church would never verbally say we don't need God, but we live like we don't need him. It's a dangerous and scary thing.
And it often comes after we get the answer to the prayer or after we see him provide in some exciting, unusual way. It's amazing how quickly we kind of settle in and go, well, that was great. And now I'm back to kind of living life by my own strength.
One of the best times my bride and I ever had in our marriage, and I mean exciting spiritual journey, was when we're in Africa. Now, you got to remember, this is, you know, we had Western Union, but that was it. And we had support raised quickly to go to Africa. I mean, quick. It came in, like, boom, because we had great friends that loved us, and boom, we got out there. But we got out there, and we had 3 months where we had a hiccup in our giving as far as electronic transfers or something. Yeah. Anyway, we had 3 months where we didn't have any dough. Ooh. In South Africa. We didn't have any rand, is what it's transferred to. Wow. American dollars turn into rand. And that back then, I think the rate was like 7 rand for every American dollar. But we had nothing. And we found ourselves eating beans and rice and samp with no protein, no meat products at all. And that's what the Zulus ate that lived all around us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they ate. And it was hand to mouth. And I got to tell you, it was a shock for our American systems. And I've been in adventure situations where you don't have anything to eat. I've been in crazy situations where you go without. But this was something that drove my bride and I together on our knees before the Lord, because we were living on an adventure. We didn't have any money. And I mean, we were going through the cabinets, you know, what do we have? You know, we can't go ask people for this because we're from America. We're supposed to be the ones with the cheddar. Now we got no cheddar. And this is before they called it cheddar. So it was a tough time. We saw God move in power in those days. Mm. When you start a ministry, you seek the Lord. Sometimes that ministry gets down the road. You can stop seeking God. You can start going to the whiteboard faster than you can go to your knees.
Mm.
It's dangerous, man.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
It's one thing to have a conviction or a biblical position on something, but putting it into action, oh my goodness. We got a special guest with us.
Amy Ford, president of Embrace Grace, which is a nonprofit that helps churches reach out to young women with unplanned pregnancies. She also is the author of a new book that we're featuring today. Help Her Be Brave, Discover Your Place in the Pro-Life Movement. She is also a mom of four. Amy, good to have you with us this morning. Let's first talk about your own story. What support did you need when you decided to choose life for your son?
Well, I had an unplanned pregnancy myself, and I was just really scared and worried about how, you know, the enemy lies to you in that situation. I thought my parents were going to hate me. I thought I was going to be homeless. I thought they were going to kick me out, all the worst case scenarios you can think of.
Yep.
But I ended up paying for an abortion because I thought that was what I needed to do and to just deal with the consequences of a broken heart later. And then I ended up hyperventilating and passing out in the abortion room. And when I came to, a nurse was fanning me, trying to give me a drink of water. And she said, "You're too emotionally distraught to make this decision today. You can come back another day, but today you're not getting an abortion." And so I went back out in the waiting room, told my baby daddy, who's now my husband, we're still pregnant. And we just decided in that moment, okay, we're going to figure this out together. But I just remember that season, you know, we tried to go back to church for a while. We even tried, when we got married when I was pregnant, the man that that had led my husband to the Lord years before, he said, "I'm sorry, I can't marry you because you've sinned, and so I can't bless this marriage."
Oh, my.
We kind of felt like a scarlet letter on our wedding day, and it's kind of like what, now looking back, it's like the elephant in the room. People don't know whether to say congratulations or I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
So they just don't say anything, and you're
right.
So alone in a crowd of people, and so I have since then realized the power that the church has in helping empower women to be able to make a life decision. If I would have felt like I had a church to go to talk to for wisdom, for counsel, for not feeling, you know, I already struggled with my own shame, but to not feel like that was going to be poured upon me when I went to the church for counsel, I would have gone to them to, and I wouldn't have never have even gone to an abortion clinic in the first place. And so that's what we hope to do is really we feel like the church is the answer, and we can, you know, I think you were saying before, Carl, that pro-life is a stance, but we also believe pro-love is an action.
Boom.
And it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance.
Absolutely.
And so if we want to make a change, it takes us, and we can be the answer and make abortion unthinkable.
Yeah, right on. Amy Ford is our guest right now, guys. She is the president of Embrace Grace, Inc., and she is... Sister, you are on fire, and I love it. Woo-hoo. Now, you need to know something about us here with Carl and Crew and the, oh, I don't know, 250,000 listeners that we have. We are freedom fighters, but here's an interesting thing, and you know this. It's one thing to hold a position. It's another thing to put it into action. As a lead pastor of a budding, growing church, that's what I do, kind of, that's my side hustle. We tease about that around here. And with everything else that we're seeing going on, a twofold question. What should lead pastors do to embrace the grace of unplanned parenting? What should that look like? And what are dudes to do? I've often wondered, what are dudes to do out there? Fire away, Amy.
Well, as far as pastors go, I think that a lot of times pastors kind of shy away from talking about this subject because they feel like it's a political issue, when really this is an issue, a people issue. It's about love, and it's about grace, and a church without the broken is a broken church. And just even saying, if anyone is in our congregation that is experiencing an unexpected pregnancy, that our doors are open to you. We want to talk to you. You know, we want to help you through this situation. And then also, if there's anyone in our church that has experienced an abortion, because 1 in 4 have experienced an abortion, men and women, and the abortion rate is exactly the same inside the church as it is outside. So that means they're sitting in our pews and they don't feel like they can talk to us about it, that the church is a safe place to talk to for healing and for hope, and to even start abortion healing groups at your church and embrace grace groups for unexpected, you know, girls with unexpected pregnancies. So that is definitely just being open about it. You don't have to have a whole political, you know, sermon about it, but just saying that our church is welcome and open for you to talk about these issues that you may be struggling with.
Awesome.
and what that can look like. And I'm already forgetting what the second question was.
just follow up for men. I think a lot of these.
Oh, men.
When it comes to this, a lot of men feel like they have a moral conviction here, but they don't know what to do.
Oh my gosh. Well, I just want to say that men do have a place in this conversation. In fact, if you look at one of the top 5 reasons why women have abortions, it's because of the guy. It's because they don't feel support, or maybe he'll be mad. You know, the baby dad will be mad at them.
Yep.
So guys do have a place in this, and there's always something that we can do. And in my book, A Helper Be Brave, there's so many ideas of what guys can do. But one thing is just really digging into what are your passions, your strengths, what, you know. With my husband, he is very passionate about finances, and he's really good about budgeting, all that stuff. I feel like is so boring, but he's really good at it. And we have a single mom that we've kind of taken under our wing, and he's so great about helping her with her finances and with her dreams and goals, and showing her how she can to achieve her goals by how she does her finances. So, I mean, it could be just helping a single mom.
Awesome.
It could be helping her with a resume. It could be helping her take out her trash. You know, if we all have something to give in this to make abortion feel unthinkable because of all the help,
yes,
the resources that are out there. There are over 300,000 churches in America. And if we all were doing something, because we are the church, we can make abortion unthinkable. And yes, it's good to vote, but it's also even more so, let's make it unthinkable because of the love that we have
Boom.
To give and the help that we have.
Yeah. Amy Ford, our guest right now, author of a book called Help Her Be Brave. As we close with you, Amy, what do you want people to take away from this book?
Well, I just really want people, you know, I never knew there was a pro-life movement. I went to church my entire life, had no idea. When I thought about pro-life, I thought it was the picketers that stand outside abortion clinics.
And, right.
You know, that's what the media likes to show. But actually, there's so much love to give. There's so many resources that are out there, so many great organizations, people, boots on the ground. So don't think, oh, that's for, you know, kind of the crazy people, which not, you know, it's not that way at all. But to know that you do have a place in this. And it could be the smallest thing, like, you know, helping someone babysit their kid, you know, a single mom's kid. It could be the smallest thing, but we all have something to give, and don't disqualify yourself even if you have experienced an abortion. Revelation 12:11 says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So share your story. Be the person that you wish you had years ago in your life when you made your abortion decision. You are qualified, and God loves you, and we all have a place and a part in this, in helping women be brave and choose life.
Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, put on your listening ears. It's time for
Boom Kids!
Who's the smartest person you know?
My dad. He works at a hospital.
Hospital?
My dad, because he works loads. My mom.
Ooh, why is your mom the smartest person you know?
Because she does math really good.
She does math. Moms are pretty smart.
My mom, she could, because she helps my brother with math.
God.
Okay.
Me. I answer the questions and I already know them before everybody else.
My dad. When I get something wrong on my homework, he says it's wrong and he helps me.
What about you? Who's the smartest person you know?
My dad. He's an engineer.
Either me or Jonah. Jonah's my friend at class. He mostly always raises his hand first and just keep jumping off his chair.
My mom and dad.
My newborn baby sister. She looks at us. One time she won't let go of my hair, but she keeps pulling on my hair. She's newborn.
What do you think she's trying to say to you?
I don't know. Give me a hug or something.
Probably my friend Camden. He knows math and he knows a lot about engineering, mm-hmm. and he's a nice guy.
So great. I think I'm the smartest person I know. Boom Kids from Trinity School in Crown Point, Indiana.
Aww.
Love those kids.
Yeah.
And I just want to do a general shout out to those of you that are giving me grace and saying in text that it's just a personality quirk that I have. And
can you nail that down to a personality quirk?
I think that's a push.
That's one
no,
of them.
Yeah, that's
I'll
a huge.
I don't
yeah.
know.
At least you know there are people out there that support you.
Super Di, I need
lot.
You to stay independent. You're human resources here between the five
HR.
Of us.
Okay. HR.
She's impartial, and that was her impartial vote.
Oh, no. That's rough.
Deborah from Chicago, you sought the Lord and you found him. Help us, sister.
Yes.
Give us your story.
Hello?
Yes. Sorry, this is Carl and Crew. I'm sorry, Deborah. Go ahead.
First of all, thank you so much for all of you being such a blessing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I had a book called Simple Faith by Charles Swindoll sitting on my nightstand, and I'm going to try to make this short, but I was in desperate need of a couple $100s for a bill, and I didn't want my utilities shut off, and I didn't feel full of faith. But I said, God, you said you're faithful, and I need this money. And I put off reading this book for months. And the next morning, I felt strongly to pick up this book. And I opened it up. After I flipped a few pages, there were four $50 bills in this book.
Oh,
I don't put money in books. I'm not in that position. And I picked it up from a garage sale, a rummage sale, months and months prior.
Oh, my.
I thought I was half asleep. I thought, oh, it's not real money. But it was.
No, Deborah, that is those little stories.
Oh,
I mean,
my.
And don't think God isn't in that.
Right. That's not just cool. Random.
I mean, that is really cool.
Fantastic.
Robin, first time caller in Antioch. Tell us a story. You were asking God for provision and he showed up. Give it to us.
Well, in 2008, when the recession hit, my husband is in the trades. He is a gutter man. And the businesses all went sour during that time. And,
yeah.
You know, being in the trades, you don't have degrees. And so what are you going to do?
Yep.
You know, how are you going to, you know, raise income to pay your mortgage and pay for school bills? And so God caused the storm of 2008. That was the hailstorm that caused damage throughout Lake County, McHenry County, and I'm sure down in Chicago there. And my husband was able to have gutter work nonstop for 3 years because of the hail.
Because
damage.
Of that.
So,
wow. Oh, my
so
word.
So thankful.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's
so thankful for provision.
Yeah, it's so wild. What some people see as a curse, others see as a blessing. Mm-hmm. And God has the ability to navigate through all of that stuff.
Unbelievable. We're taking your stories of God providing. You sought him. He provided a lot of times in an unusual way.
Let's get in one more really quickly.
Let's go to Camille, first-time caller from Joliet. What's your story?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. So I am currently at home with my children, and just before the pandemic, I drive for Uber. And when I set out on my Uber drives, I always pray, like, Lord, you know, have your hand over me. You make the provision. And I also pray that whoever you want me to come in contact with, let me be a light for them. So I sat in my driveway. I turned my app on. I get a trip to go 2 minutes down the road. I picked this gentleman up to take him to a bar. So on the way, I'm talking to him, you know, just seeing the light, having conversation. He said, hold on, wait a minute, I'll be back. So he comes out and he brings me this $100 bill. And within 5 minutes, I made $105 to have the remaining money for my mortgage.
Oh, payment. Camille, wow. Camille, Camille.
Yes.
God
yes.
is good. God is good. He is that good. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.